ending this month with Living the Science of Mind. Our theme, Centers for Spiritual Living theme for the year 2018 is 100 years of science of mind. Isn't that a great thing to celebrate? It is. And so today's talk is based on chapter 2 of the introductory chapters in this beautiful book. See, mine has gold. Yes, right? You too could have one. But there are four short introductory chapters that are wonderful to read this time of year. For those of us who have been in the teaching for years and years, and as most of you know, I was raised in it, thank you, glory, hallelujah, wow, I'm in the spirit of things today. Whether we are brand new to it, to understand a little bit more about this wonderful practical spirituality that was gifted to us through the ages of many ancient and more modern iterations of new thought, and then most recently in the last 100 years through our beloved Ernest Holmes. So the second chapter is called The Way It Works. Last week we talked about the thing itself. We talked about the power back of creation. So perhaps just a little review. The thing then works for us by working through us and is us always. Last week we discussed this beautiful universal creative intelligence that is everywhere. It's how the divine creates things out of itself, and we have been created as co-creators so that we too have the ability to use this universal creative intelligence to make our lives sweeter, more loving, wiser, more prosperous, healthier in every way that we can imagine, and to make the world the place we all wish to live. We learned last week that there is, or remembered last week, that there is a divine substance that underlies and moves through everything and everyone. It's ours to use. We also spoke about the two pillars, and I've designated those two pillars right there. And we're going to put the names on them. Jachin and Boaz. Yeah. Well, can we do that? Will somebody make a nice sign? Maybe Karen could paint something on there. Jachin and Boaz, love and law. And they are the two pillars that one needed to go through in order to enter the Temple of Solomon. You had to go through the pillars of love and law. And as Ernest Holmes taught us, we court the presence. That's the presence of divine love. And once we are so well established in that divine presence, and we feel our unity with the indwelling presence of goodness, then we direct the law of mind, the law of cause and effect, the law of sowing and reaping that Jesus so beautifully taught us about. And we direct it because we're then in that mindset, in that consciousness of knowing our unity with all the good that there is, knowing that the power for good that we can use is right where we are, and we can use it, and we choose then to use it for the greatest possible benefit for ourselves and for others. So today is about first cause through each cause. Well, we know that God is first cause. That's the beginning of everything. Let it be, and it is. And then God calls it all good. And you know what? That is something God never changed its mind about that. It's still good. The world is still good. People are still good. Well, why isn't it looking like that all the time? Well, we're still in process. We're still evolving intellectually, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And so when we see conditions that we don't like, things that we can't believe are still happening in our world, we cannot afford to let ourselves get mired in that. We need to keep our vision high we need to maintain the dream. Our great men and women continue to discover the spirit that expresses through each of us victoriously. Those who have done so, the great teachers, leaders, avatars, have taught us, have shown us that we too can discover how spirit works through us in order to make our lives beautiful and to make this world a better place. And the world is transformed through the kind of divine connection that Dr. Martin Luther Jr. King Jr. experienced. Jesus taught, "It is done unto you as you believe." We have this wonderful religious science analogy. It comes up every time around this time of year. It's the farmer analogy. It's the seed. The farmer plants the seed, plants seeds for cabbages, does not get petunias. We plant seeds in our minds, which are some part of the universal creative intelligent mind of God, and we get results. We often plant the seeds not knowing. You know, they just thoughts, ideas, feelings, beliefs, patterns sort of repeat themselves unconsciously within us until we finally take dominion of our own consciousness and begin preparing the soil of our subjective mind, which is part of the greater subjective mind of the universe. Our conscious mind thinks, chooses. A subconscious mind receives, acts upon. There's intelligence in both. And the great news is that our conscious mind is some part of God's conscious mind. And our subconscious mind is some part of God's subconscious mind. So when we do our personal work, we are actually utilizing universal principles and inviting that holy presence of love, divine love, to make right, beautiful, conscious choices for us. And then we utilize the wonderful law of mind, which responds to us as Jesus taught us, according to our whim, no. According to our wish, no. Now help me get this right. It responds to us according to our belief. See what you know? You get up here and I'm going to sit and listen to you. Involution, evolution. I plant the seed. The soil takes the seed so long as it is good soil, well-watered, good sunshine. Oh, do you love the sunshine today? And it grows it. It grows exactly what I planted. I am a little religious science farmer, and so are you, no matter what you call yourself. We plant seeds, and we reap the results. We plant resentment and anger and a desire for retaliation. We are not going to get good fruit. And so we must keep our vision high. We must continue to determine what we truly want to experience in our lives. Ernest Holmes wrote, "We are thinking, willing, knowing, conscious centers of life. We are surrounded by, immersed in, and there is flowing through us a creative something. Call it what you will. The sum total of all our thought, all of our will, purpose, and belief creates a tendency in this law that causes it to react to us according to the sum total of our belief." The sum total. What is the greater portion of our consciousness? Do we tend more of the time to have a healthy expectation of life showing up nicely for us? Do we have a tendency to be worried much of the time, anxious, and wonder what's going to happen? That's not going to help us bring into our lives what we truly, with all our hearts, desire for ourselves and for every sentient being. Spirit works for us by working through us. First cause, with a capital F and a capital C, which means that divine originating point where God says, let it be. And it is. So that first cause working through us in what we choose as our new cause for our lives is always what propels the prayer, brings it into the subconscious healthy soil of infinite mind, and produces after its nature. God is interpreted through us, for we are sons and daughters of the One. That's a wonderful thing to remember. I would like to share with you a portion of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech that he gave in 1963, the March on Washington. I say to you today, my friends, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that one day in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping in the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with the new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain side let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that. Let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill in Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. When we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every city and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, great God Almighty, we are free at last." This still moves me. I am still encouraged, realizing that that dream is not dead. It's very much alive within the hearts of those who maintain their clarity, their purpose, their intention to bring the dream on into our world. Until then, it's a nice idea. It's a fantasy. But we live it here, don't we? We are one family. We're the microcosm. We're one of the microcosms in this world that teach the world how to let freedom ring, how to let our song be sung, how to live not only in peace but in mutual respect and appreciation and joy for each other. We give thanks for our ability to come more deeply into this dream, which truly is a spiritual prototype, a mental equivalent. And it just feels just right today to be celebrating this great man and others, other beautiful leaders who know the possibility beyond what the condition may look like. So it's endemic upon each of us, as I feel, to maintain our vision in the highest, to keep our conversations in heaven, to know that there is still a way, and it's becoming even easier because there are so many light workers in this world joining with us to bring the idea, the true idea, of God's spirit within each and all sentient beings. We can do this. We're doing it together. We are the great example. We are one of the great examples. I don't want us to become egopotamuses because there are certainly so many thousands and millions of people who have joined the high watch and continue to do this movement along. So God first caused the thing itself, expressed with clarity, passion, and compassion, create a new vision through us. Through us, that's how it works. Through us, it has to be. We're the portal through which the divine mind has the ability to co-create and make a new world. We must, at the same time, realize that conditions pale and are completely transformed by this power, which is always ours, ready to use. This dream truly is planting a dynamic and essential seed. It's not fanciful. It's powerful. Now there's another kind of dream from which we must awaken. It's the false notion that we're separate and apart from our Creator and separate and apart from one another. That is a nightmare. That one we need to awaken from. And in Rumi's poem, "The Dream That Must Be Interpreted," the last part of it we read, "Humankind is led along an evolving course through this migration of intelligences." He had been speaking of life in the stone and in the plant and in the animal and in the person and what's next. "Humankind is led along an evolving course through this migration of intelligences, and though we seem to be sleeping, there is an inner wakefulness that directs the dream, and that will eventually startle us back to the truth who we really are." It's time for us to be startled back to the truth of who we are. We get some strange notions about who we are, about being somehow weak and can't do anything about the circumstances in our lives or in the world. We need to be startled out of that nightmare. It never was true. But we certainly experience it sometimes, don't we? That's part of the human condition, because remember, we have both the divine identity and the human condition. And we're learning to do a graceful dance, perhaps, between the two. In the absolute, life is perfect. It's loving, it's wise, compassionate, intelligent, creative. In the relative, people do things and say things that are pretty darned awful. We cannot slip into that slippery slope of getting down into the mud and wrestling with other people. Unless you really like that sort of thing. I choose, and I'm inviting you all to choose, to keep the high watch, to awaken from that dream of separation. It's time we awakened to our divine identity, our essential unity with spirit and with humankind. Let's let that creative, intelligent power and presence work through us, because here's the best news. We're the ones. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Isn't that great? Our salvation, that's not a term you hear very often here, is it? But we need to be saved from ourselves sometimes and from our strange thinking about separation, retaliation, all of those things. You need to rise up. Let's rise up together in consciousness and sing that song of oneness, of possibility, of a world that works for all. Will you say with me, I am an open, receptive instrument.
I am an open, receptive instrument.
I am open to the flow of creative intelligence.
I am open to the flow of creative intelligence.
I am open to the expression of divine love.
I am open to the expression of divine love.
I am co-creating a world that works for all. I am co-creating a world that works for all. And so, my beloveds, beginneth our lesson. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community, as together we create a world that works for all.